Oh my gosh. Okay. Do you know what? I absolutely just need to confess. Who knows how many of these welcome back episodes we're going to have in the course of our relationship together? Okay. Because if anything I have learned, when I feel the need, oh, you guys, we got to turn those alerts off. Okay. Let's just turn those alerts off. If anything I have learned, is that the right way to say that? If I have learned anything, look at me. Look at me, you guys. That's that college education paying off. If I have learned anything, it is that when you feel yourself needing to step back from something, no matter how pedal to the metal you want to go, no matter how much you think you're in the sweet spot, no matter how much you think this is your moment, you just have to step back. And it's hard for me because the podcast is probably my favorite thing that we do. It's my favorite way to share with you, to talk with you. But when life hits a big giant fan, it's the first thing that you're like, I have to press pause. So who knows how long this journey of podcasting will take us before somebody comes along and carries us to some large platform in the sky where we're like nationally syndicated, right? Because we're going to do that one day. But for now, I'm happy that it's just me and you. And welcome back to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's for you. Where I just share with you, because a lot of times in life, you just need someone to do life with. And when you get a little lonely, you need a friend to call. And I just want you to think of this as a long voicemail. And that's what I've decided. The After Hours with Amanda podcast is a podcast for you. It's a long voicemail between friends. And can I just tell you how tickled pink I am in the fuzziest? Okay, I got to tell you this story though first. Okay, I am in the fuzziest bathrobe right now. And this bathrobe was literally bought for me by my dad probably 20 years ago. And I am not exaggerating, y'all. I'm 36 years old. 20 years ago is very doable. In fact, it was probably longer than that. But he had gone on this road trip, I say road trip. He was on a business trip, okay? And the thing I loved about my dad in business trips was even if he did them a lot, the man always brought back so like wonderful souvenirs, so wonderful, so many wonderful souvenirs. How do we turn off our alerts? I know that some of you are going to eventually DM me and be like, Amanda, this is how you turn off the volume on your alerts. But for now, we will just go with what it's at currently. Anywho, so he came back with the fuzziest robe ever in my entire life. And it was not until 3 years ago that I discovered it was a barefoot dreams bathrobe. I kid you not, I've had this bathrobe for years and I thought, this is so soft, this is so nice. And never ever having looked at the tag, I learned about barefoot dreams from my mother-in-law, who loves their stuff, loves the blankets. She loves to get the baby blankets away for baby showers, which, yes, absolutely love that as a gift. And so, oh my gosh. My voice went up like a child going through puberty. I just took a swig of this passion orange guava and it's like such fresh juice. The pulp like got stuck in my throat. Anyways, so my dad, I swear I'm fine. My dad brought me back this Barefoot Dreams bathrobe and it is the coziest thing in the whole wide world and I just live in it. And it's always such a joke because I think of the fact of if I ever had to go into a real studio or if I ever actually did record myself, which I know is really popular to like be on YouTube or like put clips from your podcast, like your video on your Insta or your TikTok or whatever. You guys, you're gonna get me in a bathrobe with like a Coke or a juice or French fries sitting in my closet. Who knows if it'll be clean or not? Okay. I cannot guarantee anything in this life. Okay. I can guarantee you, though, I'm gonna be comfortable because I'm gonna be the girl that lets the jean top button undone at dinner and then just pulls a napkin up if I'm feeling classy. Sometimes we're just letting it fly. Okay. You gotta let that stomach air out when you're eating a good meal. But I'm happy to be back with you. It is my goal to remain consistent. Did I not pick the best time of year to say I was going to be consistent as we head into the holiday season? But I wanted to talk to you because so many things have gone on since the last time we chatted. And there are so many different things I could think to talk about to you tonight. And so the place I wanted to land is the fact that we are heading into the holiday season. And I tell you, it is my favorite time of year. There is nothing I love more than my TikTok feed full of Christmas talk. I want the videos. I want the rooms. I want the snacks. I want the recipes, all set to Christmas tunes, okay? But I think there's a couple other things that the holiday season brings about that's the elephant in the room. And I feel like we should just talk about them to prepare ourselves, right? The first one being family, right? Ooh, that alone in itself, the word itself could be a trigger. Let's talk about the fact of us not feeling that we're doing good enough or enough, whether you're in a relationship, whether it's for your tiny people, whether it's a human being just living and breathing and existing. The holidays can feel like a pressured time, especially when it comes to gift giving. Now, you cannot come for me on this, my love language, how I give it. Oh my gosh, I love gift giving. I love to give people gifts. Now, this doesn't have to be a big deal, okay? It can be written word, it can be a picture, but I love to find out the nitty-gritty details of people's lives, the things they enjoy, a favorite candy from when they were 12. You bet your ass I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna find it and I'm gonna get it for you. Like, that is what, there's nothing that brings me more joy than that. But the holiday season can be rough because the beauty of social media is the way that we find ourselves inspired, encouraged, affirmed. The negative is the way we find ourselves wanting and longing, not feeling good enough, devaluing what we have, devaluing ourselves, and not putting those safeguards. Because people post up on things when it comes to the holidays. They put the things they're doing, where they're going, what they're getting. And you look at that and you assess your life. And in comparison, you just feel that your life pales. Doesn't even measure up. Not even on the map. And that is just not true. And I even fall victim to this. Shocker. As a human being, I fall victim to the comparison game. Please. Anyone who says they don't is lying. Now, do I get stuck in the minutia of it any longer? I really don't. And I feel fortunate for that because I can feel myself doing it. And I remind myself that my worst day could be someone's best and someone's best day could be my worst. It just depends on the view that you're looking through, the lens that you're seeing things with. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The tiny people, and this is for anyone out in there, parents, adopted, birthed, inherited, brother, sister, anybody. The tiny people in your life, more than anything, want your time. That is the greatest gift you can give to them. And now that doesn't mean you sacrifice yourself, right? This doesn't mean that you throw yourself on the altar of, they're only so little for so long. You're going to miss this. You're going to miss this. Oh my gosh, I can't with that. The way that that plays into the psyche of I'm exhausted and burnt out, but I'm going to push myself further. And I push myself further in that moment and I only end up resenting it. I was there at one point. Where I would be like, oh, they're only so little for so long. You got to say yes to it. You got to do it. You got to go to this event. You got to show up. No. Yes, they are only so little for so long. But the time that you spend with them and the way that you spend with them and the attitude in which you spend it, it matters too. So sometimes giving less means giving more. And I want you to take that in. Giving less can sometimes mean giving more. That means you don't go to every birthday party. That means that you don't go to every event, volunteer for everything, guilt yourself about everything. That means that you clear space. So when you do say yes to something, with your whole heart, you can enjoy it. Because if you're out here trying to prove the value of yourself as a person by how many social events you show up to, you are going to be left exhausted. I don't care, extrovert or introvert, omnivert, whatever. You're just going to be left drained. And this is for all the people in the that kind of like 20-something prime of life when you're like college, you're, you know, young, adult, working, first job. You want to go to all the things. Baby. You do not have to go out on a Friday night because it's a Friday night. You do not have to go to two, three, four, five, six, seven, even one Friendsgiving if you don't feel like it. Because the value that we place on those things, I think sometimes distorts the value that we bring all year round when we do show up for people. And don't get me wrong, I want to go to all the cookie decorating things. An ornament party, catch me at it. But I feel like we really get lost in this idea that more is more in the sense of I need to do more, I need to give more. And when we do that, sometimes we're still left empty and alone. And here's the other tricky part. When we give expecting. My mom had this saying when I was growing up, and she said, when you give a gift, you give it as if you want nothing back. You should give a gift where if they went and returned it the next day, you would not be offended, because you give the gift with the intent that you give it, with the heart that you give it. And what that person does with it is up to them. You do not give it desiring a certain reaction. You do not give it holding a bar for how someone should react. Now, does that mean that you take what's given if you're out here giving gifts and people are absolutely overlooking them? No, because my mom also used to say, you don't give your best to those who don't appreciate it either. But what it does mean is that when you give a gift, you give it knowing the reason you're giving it and the joy that you get from it. Is it disappointing when people don't receive it that way? Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, especially for me, who like is a big gift giver and I love giving gifts. When someone like, oh my gosh, you guys, Blake and I's first Christmas married. Oh my gosh, this, I'll never forget this. So you guys probably know, we were both working retail. We did not have any money whatsoever between student loans, a car payment, rent, groceries, gas to commute. And this was gas back in 2010, 2011. So much cheaper. And our first Christmas together, I was like, I got to get him something that he's going to love. We don't have a lot of money. And Blake, just so you know, the man loves cheese. Like Dubliner, there's this one Gouda that's called Cristal with a K. Not the champagne, the cheese. And Blake lives for it. Okay, this is one of his favorite cheeses of all time. And he tells everybody about it. Cristal Gouda cheese. Okay, he loves Beefmaster, Beefmeister or whatever too. But Cristal is his favorite. Anyways, so I knew the guy loved meat and cheese. And I think, what is the best gift? Hickory Farms. You know how when you're at the mall during the holiday season, sometimes Hickory Farms opens up those like pop-up shops, whether in the mall or in like an actual space inside the mall, not just like a kiosk. I thought, I'm going to get him the top tier meat and cheese pack. It was $70. I about croaked when I paid for that. It was so much money for what we had in our budget. Like, definitely did not have that lying around. And I go and I buy this thing and I am thinking, Amanda, girl, you did it. You did it. You landed this one. Signed, sealed, delivered. Boom. Chef's kiss. You're amazing. So I get him this for Christmas. Okay. Oh my gosh. And Blake, Christmas morning, gets this giant box. I swear it's huge. It's like, and I don't know, like at least a foot and a half long and like a foot, like it was just stocked, right? And he opens it up in his face. And I immediately bursted into tears because I've known Blake long enough to know that this was a bomb. Now, granted, we love Hickory Farms. So don't get me wrong. I love Hickory Farms to this day. But for what he thought he was getting and what he got. Now, granted, being the man he is, he's like, no, 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 it's great. What, honey, no, babe, it's great. He doesn't actually ever call me babe. He calls me honey. Honey, no, it's great. You did. No, it's okay. And I am absolutely sobbing at this point in our little one-bedroom apartment that I loved, that literally you could go to the bathroom and hear it no matter where you stood. There was no privacy. Okay. It's a real quick way to get over any of your like, I want privacy things when you're living in a one bedroom with a toilet that has no door on it, literally placed right next to the shower with no wall. Like, hey, neighbor. And sometimes you just can't time the shower and the bathroom as separately as you need to. Okay. But Blake's face when I gave him this gift, oh, punched me in the gut. It was terrible. And it was funny because it was one of those moments when I thought, I really tried my best here. And of course, Blake being him, like he's like, no, it's great, you know, whatever. But so often in the holiday season, I think what we get caught up in is doing and giving. And I really don't want this to be misunderstood. I love doing. I love giving. But do you know what else is really important during this time is being. Being in the moment. Being with people that you want to. Being with yourself if that's what you enjoy. Being in that space to be able to pause and see things. There's this really cute book that I read the girls at bedtime sometimes called Wiggly Toes. It's a very adorable book. Highly, highly recommend it. And in Wiggly Toes, you go through the whole book and the little girl talks about how she doesn't want to go to bed. And then finally at the end, you say goodnight to your whole body. And after saying goodnight to, it's called Goodnight Wiggly Toes, literally. They say, breathe in good. Breathe out night. Breathe in good. Breathe out night. And they do that about three or four times in the book at the very, very end. And then it just says to thank your body, you know, for it carrying you that day. It's a really beautiful book. And in that moment, when I sit down to read with the girls, which I'm going to be honest with you, we just got back into reading at bedtime. It is very difficult at the end of the day, after a long day with all the activities we have right now, for me to pause and make that a priority because I'm so exhausted. I just want to kiss everyone goodnight and go veg. And that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do that. But I love the time that I read them the books. And again, that little voice, oh, they're only young this little for so long, it creeps in. But then so does the fact that they say statistically kids who read 20 minutes every night are read to enjoy literate. So it's a whole cluster of just like dumping the guilt of you what you should do, right? Because for the last like 2.5 years, our girls have just fallen asleep in our bed watching a show. And I actually will take zero feedback on that. I still do that some nights. It works for us. As I say to all parents when they ask me their best advice, find what works with you. Stick with that. If other people don't line up with it, that is absolutely fine. It is not their family. And sometimes your survival of mental, physical, emotional stability, as well as the tiny people, because when you're in a bad mood, that's going to overflow if you are already tapped. So I pick my moments and I pick my battles of guilt. But reading has become important recently because I want that time with them. And when we're reading that book, sometimes I come into the reading session and I'm moving through the book, right? I'm not rushing, but I'm like, oh, my toes are wiggly. Good night, wiggly toes. And you're pacing, right? And then we get to that part in the book and I feel the need to pause. Because it says, breathe in good, breathe out night. And the girls do it too. And there's that moment when it's almost as if my brain and my body catch up with each other and it says, Amanda, be, pause. And in this busy season of giving and doing, and if you trick or treat, trick or treating or trunk or treat or whatever you want to do, and doing Friendsgiving or Thanksgiving or traveling or doing Christmas or the holidays or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or however you celebrate this season of the time of the year, it is one that will keep you running on a hamster wheel if you don't put your own little stick in the wheel and say, hold up. 1 second. I can't tell you how many holidays I've spent checking off my list. Did we go see Christmas lights? Did we decorate cookies? Did we find an ornament? Have we decorated? Did we watch that movie? Are we doing an advent calendar? Have I prepped everything we need? Have I done this? Did I do that? Are we doing family photos? Which, by the way, we absolutely never do. And if you've listened long enough, you know why. We don't do them. No shade. I love them. Maybe one day it'll happen for us. That day is not today. But we get in this checklist. And before we know it, the season has come and gone. And yes, that checklist does provide the opportunity for great experiences and great memories, but it is not king. I can't tell you how many nights it's just awesome. And I look at the girls and I go, you know what? Let's just go home tonight, because they don't play a team sport currently. So if I want to skip, we're doing fall swim, which is very casual. So if I want to skip fall swim, I could say to the girls, hey, you want to skip practice? Let's just go home. And then we go and we sit and we watch a show and we just are. And it's so soothing to the soul to do that. And here's the other side to this season that's hard, is when you want it to be filled with all the things and you just don't feel like you have the community, the friends, the opportunity, or the family itself. And that sucks. Holidays can be such a source of pain. And in the essence of doing and being, or doing and giving, right? We might forget about those around us if we're not doing enough of the being present to hear what's being said, but not said, being present enough to notice when we see somebody that's feeling like they wish they had an invite and they didn't. I think that I'm very fortunate that I have some good friends in my life that I gained in my 30s and some good family in my life. No family is perfect, but I feel lucky that I have a supportive one. And the holidays for some can be really hard. And I think that when we look at this idea of giving, so often it's tied to this idea of purchasing. I worked retail for 10 years, you guys. I live for the excitement people get, like I said, when they're getting a gift. I do. But when it comes to the giving, I think that we can also reframe that in, it's not just about the purchasing. The giving, right, in its essence, can also be the giving of our time. To take an extra moment with that coworker who looks like they're working late on a holiday weekend that they should be flying home or going home. The giving of, maybe I like to do this sometimes, our free coffee when we go to coffee with a friend, using our free Starbucks coffee if you have the stars or something, to get that friend a coffee. Or the simple giving of being present when someone is trying to talk to us, like our tiny people. It's so hard when so many things are pulling at our attention and so many things are drawing us in different directions. This idea of acting quick enough or catching a trend quick enough or not losing steam or keeping up with what's going on with the activities or the kids or the school or work. And it can feel like this massive tidal wave sweeping you out. And then the holidays come and everything goes to X Games mode. But the thing is that the most beautiful things about the holiday for me is when I get to stop and observe. Like tonight, Corey wanted to read a book at bedtime. And I always tell the girls, here's how it goes. You want to read, here are the activities you want for bedtime. You want me to lay for a certain amount of time. You want me to read a book. You want to read a book. Here's when we need to get into bed, teeth brushed, bathroom done, this. With the usage of that time, the opportunity for the things we want to do goes down. I'll still read a book. I'll still lay with you, but you reading a book might go out the window, or vice versa, depending, right? Because I can't, for me, be in your room till 9:30 at night or 9 o'clock at night while we check off all the lists of things we want to do before bed. I have to have boundaries for myself, right? I have to set up guardrails so I can feel like I'm doing what I want as a parent, but also doing what I need as a human. And so I make that really evident. And some nights they get to read a book and some nights they don't. And those are the choices we make. I offer timers. I'll set this. Okay, what do you want tonight? Okay, then that means in 10 minutes you need to get ready. But tonight, Corey really wanted to read a book. And granted, she's 4. So her reading is more like interpretation, okay? And tonight, just I felt like I wanted to just secretly film her reading. And so I like propped my little cell phone up so I could just get like an angle where she wouldn't see me filming. Like I'm not touching the phone, but she's also unaware of it. And then I could also enjoy it by not being focused on it. And you guys, it's probably going to be one of my favorite home movies ever. It was the cutest stinking thing I've ever seen. Watching a four-year-old, quote-unquote, read a book to you based off of the pictures is absolutely life-giving. And there are so many times that I will honestly zone out or not reel myself in. And I just thought tonight, I'm glad I didn't miss that. And when it really comes down to it, there's a lot of pressure surrounding doing stuff. Whether it's the gifts you buy your kids at the holidays or the things you're doing with them, like there's the Polar Express train at the Sacramento Railroad Museum. And sometimes I want to do that, but then there's also the Nutcracker. But then also Frozen is coming into town at the end of January, the Broadway play, which I would kill to get tickets for. We have a Broadway series here in Sacramento, and it's just delightful. But there's all these things, and I think that people think that money is a dirty word. And for someone to say, oh my gosh, this feels like a lot. And then they see you doing something else, and they're like, well, if that's a lot, it's like you can't determine what's a lot for someone, because people, my parents always told me, people like to spend their money on what they like to spend their money on. For our family, we love to do a vacation. Like Disneyland is a big vacation for us, or we'll go to Hawaii, or we'll do like a cabin in Tahoe for 4 days. We love to experience things, right? Some people want a really nice home. Some people love really nice cars. There's just a difference of things. But I think when so many people feel the pressure is when you combine the holidays with the doing and the giving and social media and our own guilt as people and our own triggers and vices surrounding the holiday season, and you ball that up and then you just hand it over. And I don't know if all of this is making sense, but I just wanted to remind you as we kick off this, what we'll call new season of the podcast, and we start to dive into different things and we continue to share the journey of life and coffee together. I don't know what you're doing right now. Maybe you're studying for midterms. Maybe you're doing laundry. Maybe you're up feeding your tiny human. Maybe you're on a walk. I don't know where you are. But I know that I like doing life with you. And I know that if I could do anything for everyone out in the world, I would say that the most important thing you can do when things come around like this, the holiday season and the special things, is just to be. Be in the moment when you're watching, you know, my favorite, a Charlie Brown Christmas. I just love it so much. When you're watching a Charlie Brown Christmas, be in the moment when you do decide to bake cookies, right? And be reasonable about your expectations. You guys, I baked cookies with a two-year-old. I do not recommend it. I do recommend having cookies baked, getting a shoebox, and hear me out on this, a shoebox-style box, putting the cookie in it, and then allowing them to sprinkle it, because it'll catch all the sprinkles for you if they go everywhere, okay? Do not use a glass or plastic plate because the sprinkles will bounce off it and onto your floor, okay? But not putting so much pressure on yourself to make something look how it needs to be or go to that event. Like this weekend, we were invited to a super cool Halloween party for adults. I was so stoked, you guys. I was like, this is going to be so much fun. We got a babysitter, blah, blah, blah. But then my nephew made it to his football championships. Not the playoffs, baby, the championships. And I thought, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Now, this may not be what you do, and there is nothing wrong with that. No shade. If you would still go to the Halloween party, babe, I want to hear your costume, right? Like, I'm here for it. But I looked at my husband, and he looked at me, and I said, I would really like to be there for that. And I know the girls would like to be there for their cousin. And that is what we want to do. We want to be there for that moment. Whether it's a win or a loss, a W or L, whatever it is, I want to be there for that moment. And as much fun as I have with my husband and as much fun as it would be to dress up for Halloween, you know, because you don't get a lot of opportunities as an adult to really indulge in Halloween. I want to be there for that. And so we decided that today. So I'll be texting the sweet family that invited us and just saying like, hey, our nephew made it, you know, and they're so lovely. They will be like, yeah, absolutely, you know. But you can pick the places you want to be. And there is nothing wrong with saying no. There is a lot of power in yes, but there is a lot of power in no. And what you do with your holiday does not determine your value as a human being, a person, a parent, or any category otherwise. And why am I, in all the things I could have talked about tonight, talking about the shoe video, talking about this kind of like weird rebirth I've had after my 36th birthday of actually just feeling like it's okay, people's opinions, I just don't care, and I can live myself in that and be okay with that regardless of criticism. Why was this the episode that I chose to kick things off with? Because time and time again, I'm having conversations with friends, even my best friend Cindy, and I look at her and I go, gosh, if I didn't have you to say this to, that I feel overwhelmed looking at all these cute things or activities and stuff and that I'm not doing enough. If I didn't have someone to at least tell me, oh my gosh, me too. Because you know what happens so often with our thoughts? We isolate ourselves. And the fear of the social rejection of saying something the wrong way or sounding ungrateful or going out on a limb and being hung out to dry with someone being like, oh no, I don't feel that way. And you being like, oh, cool. Let me crawl into my hole that I feel that way. That's why I wanted to kick this back off with this episode. You do not need to get stuck in the holiday haze this year. You can enjoy things in the doing, in the giving, by reminding yourself that the being is what creates the memories. Because I'm going to tell you this, and I tell everybody this. I have lost a brother and a mother. And I always love that rhymes because it makes me chuckle and it always takes the edge off. And I can tell you that besides the robe that I'm sitting in, which my dad did buy one for me, but it got ruined, so I'm actually sitting in hers, my mom's. Besides that, things are not what will sustain you when the people that you love or that loved you are not there. It is in the being, in the moments, that you make those memories that are absolutely everlasting. That you have something that nobody can take away from you, and that nothing can take away from you. Because the doing is great to create opportunities to be, and the giving is great to create opportunities to be. But there's something wonderful about sitting in that space. It's kind of like when you give a little kid a gift. Like I like to think of it on the holidays when kids get a lot of gifts, right? There's a very high expectation for their reaction. Like you're literally overloading them sensory-wise with all these new things and then expecting them to have this, jovial, over-the-top reaction, right? But I do love when someone, usually the tinier ones, the younger humans, or even the older ones, they open something and they pause because they're stuck in the wonderment of what they've gotten, what they're looking at. They're in awe of it. And I want you to remember that that is what being looks like. Do not go through the holiday season like a pile of presents rushing through and unwrapping each one. Allow yourself to sit in the awe and honestly take stock. Sometimes I think to myself, oh my gosh, I am looking at Christmas lights in this really warm car that our family has with somebody that I love immensely, my husband, with three literal human beings that I birthed that are ours. Look at this life. This is the things that I dreamed of. And I'm able to, in not having my brother and my mom here and my dad who lives out of town, although he does come at Christmas. And if you would like him to be on the podcast, you tell me right now, tag me, DM me, and send your questions for Papa Weaver. But it's in those moments that I can share stories of the people who aren't here and the nights that we looked at lights and sometimes even revisit the spaces. So tonight we're going to keep this one short and sweet as we kick things back off. My promise to you is that I already have another episode keyed up for next week. So you're definitely getting 2 weeks of me. You'll get more, but I have that keyed up right now, and then I'll be working on keeping myself ahead of schedule so I can keep them keyed up. But I am happy that you're here. And yes, one day we will be nationally syndicated, but for now, and even if there's only ever one person listening, I will continue to share with you. Because I'm honored that you listen, and I'm honored that you hear. And you have someone in your corner. And if the holidays feel hard this year, maybe I might put something special together so you can play a little background, so you can have somebody with you. Because you are never alone when you're here in our community. So, if no one has told you lately, you are worthy. You are loved. You have exponential and limitless potential. You are needed. And I love you very much. I hope you have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening. Good night, friend.